The Lord is still on the throne is the title for tonight's devotion. And we have two thoughts. Know who He is, or three thoughts. Know what He can do for you, and what would be an appropriate response for God's children. Verse 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and 5. The Lord reigns supreme. His glory, omnipotence, His readiness to defend His creative works, His throne unmoved. Verse 1 to 2. And in every assault to His own, He quells, He triumphs. Verse 3 and 4. And what is your response? Declare His faithfulness. Verse 5a. Live by His word and dwell in the beauty of holiness. Live a holy life. What is life to a godless unbeliever? Have you thought how you would live in retrospect? Those times when you're not a believer, when you are plagued with problems, well, how do you solve them? What do you do? And what about the life of a child of God? A stark contrast that the Lord wants us to see, and perhaps to be able to remind our hearts of the great privilege that we have as God's children. This psalm seeks to answer this question, to encourage and give rest to every distressed child of God in every situation in life. Are you in some distress? Are you facing some challenges in your life? Well, the Lord is saying to us that there is rest in Him. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There is refuge in Jesus Christ, the sovereign God of the universe. And if you know, as it were, the formula for rest, then we would find that elusive rest that the unbelieving, even the people of God, sometimes may fail to find. The Lord wants us to be able to seek and find. And one writer observes about life, and he concluded, as long as there is life, there is danger. So he is telling us that life is fraught with unforeseen, oftentimes insurmountable obstacle, suffering that can come our way. But this psalm tells us there is safety. It tells us that we can find that safety through the dangers of life by relying on our unfailing, faithful Lord. Is this your way of life? The Lord wants you to make it your way of life. And the psalmist writes it so that we may learn it and appropriate it so that it will be also our way of life, so that we may be able to find rest in our weary souls. Another writer observes, he says, "God asks no man whether he accepts life." Sometimes we fight and we try to wrestle with life. But the Lord says, that is not the choice. You must take it. But the question is, how? Well, the psalmist emphasizes, you see, the lordship of his God by the word capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in his life. When you understand the lordship of God in your life, then you would find that there is peace in your heart. We belong to Him. We are under His kingdom jurisdiction. We are under His care. And we said, right, no hair in your head drops without, you know, or you lose without the Lord's knowledge. That's how minute, that's how detailed He goes, right, to take care of your needs. So, first of all, the psalmist rehearsed who he is, verse 1 to 2, who God is to him. And then he tells us what He can do for you, verse 3 and 4. And finally, He solicits your filial response, verse 5. Right. Know who He is, verse 1 and 2. The Lord who reigns supreme. This is who He is. Whether we like it or not, He is God, and we submit to His sovereignty. Do you daily seek to surrender yourself to God? To lay all on the altar before the Lord? Is that your life? Well, that is the Christian's life, and you would find great peace and great joy in your heart. So the psalmist begins by extolling the glory of God, that He is indeed a God that he can rely on, the God that reigns supreme in great glory, in majesty. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The Lord reigns, verse 1 says. He is clothed in majesty. The Lord is clothed with might. He Himself girded. He also established the world. He shall not be moved. The Lord reigns. The Lord is in charge. And He is still in charge during those times when our lives seems to be collapsing around us. He is clothed in majesty. He is still on the throne. He is still there caring for you. And this morning we were studying about the high priest's garment. And we said that the shoulder of the high priest has two stones, onyx stones, and how it is engraved on it all the names of the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. It's as if he's bearing the burden for our welfare. That's a picture of what Jesus Christ is doing at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, bearing your burden. Your names are known, and His shoulder is strong enough. He's not going to give way. You can go to Him, and you can look to Him. You can find comfort, solace with Him. And the Lord wants you to know that He is still on the throne. And you see, one of the great marvels in the life of a child of God is to understand who God is, the attributes of God. And here the psalmist describes, he's clothed in majesty. You remember this morning we were studying the clothing of the high priest, how he is adorned in a very special way, right? And he is dressed so that he may approach God rightly. And God gives the blueprint The measurement, as it were, the precise pattern in which he is to be clothed. And the Lord wants us to see, to give to us a picture of that special mediator, that special mediator who is standing on their behalf before God to make atonement for their sins. What a privilege. What a privilege. We have to have such a high priest. The Lord is clothed with might. So his clothing describes his power, his strength. And here is described for us who he is. He himself girded. You remember we also studied that there is the belt that on which hangs his garments, his entire robe. Yeah. The soldier would gird himself before he goes to battle. The priest is girded. It speaks of preparation, okay. Readiness. Okay. So the Lord is himself girded, meaning that he's prepared. Right. He also established the world. It shall not be moved. See, God is still on the throne. Although the world seemed to be veering out of control. Right, we said, pink dot. Right, seemed to be more and more. Well, we said this, that the Lord knows what is going on. Right? The Lord's order is not a man with a man, a woman is with a woman, but a man with a woman. That is God's order, and we cannot overturn God's order. Not that we don't like to accept this, right? But that is an overturning of the Creator's order. And the judgment doesn't come from us. Who are we? We are not saying anything, you know, to judge, but we are saying that this is what God hates. And therefore, let us not do those things that God hates. There is a God in heaven that sees what you are doing. And the Lord wants us to be careful how we live our lives. Every saint of old has caught a glimpse of God, would prostrate in worship of his glory and their sinfulness. Do you realize that this is the posture of the saint? The glory of God and his own sinfulness. We don't, you know, bargain with God, but we come to him with a contrite heart, humble and a contrite heart, that God will accept, but not with a proud heart. The Lord wants us to see who he is, and he wants us to submit to his sovereignty, submit to his rule in our lives. Remember Jesus in the Transfiguration in Mark chapter 9, verse 2 to 8. Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Right, no soap is good enough to wash what they see, the purity of the image, the vision that is before them. And they appeared unto them, Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what they say, for they were so afraid, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no man anymore, save only Jesus with themselves. When we would seek to behold the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is Lord, for who he is, we crown him King. We crown him with many crowns. Well, the Lord seeks to, or the psalmist seeks to appropriate his God to us so that we may worship him as he has seen God for who he is. His omnipotence, he established the world, it shall not be moved. Remember the occasion when Peter launched out into the deep at the word of Jesus, and he caught a whole net full of fish. And when the whole night he and the disciples caught none, being experienced fishermen. And in Luke 5 verse 8, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, says, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. If we have understood the glory of God and his power and what he is doing for us, that he is behind us, supporting us, helping us, wow, then we will realize how unworthy we are. How unworthy we are. He has forsaken all to follow Jesus. Right. Oftentimes we said we have sacrificed this, sacrificed that, this and that and that and that, and this is what I get. The Lord says this, right, that when we have seen the glory of God, those things that you lose, right, Jesus says that it is gain in God's eternal kingdom. Can you understand the divine mathematics? You lose and yet you gain. When you serve God, when you take time to do this and do that, you say, I'm so exhausted. But the Lord says to us that there's a reward for you in heaven. So someone said, yesterday we were trying to get ready our resource room, and there were so many things to put together, and how we find, wow, overwhelming and not enough strength, but the Lord sent someone to say, hey, your reward is in heaven. And he tells us that, you know, yeah, we don't seek for an earthly reward, as it were. When you serve the Lord, when you do the things that God has asked you to do, well, you seek for a heavenly reward. And the Lord wants us to rejoice, to know that we have done our best, we have done our all for the Lord. Hallelujah! Do you have that kind of a satisfaction when you have complete a task for the Lord? This is what the Lord wants me to do. And I've done it. And thank the Lord for giving me the strength to do this. Well, this is what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord wants us to have that trust, that faith in him, that he is there for you. His readiness to defend, verse 1d, he hath girded himself. And we said it signifies a readiness for action, right? With a belt all tied up, the garment tucked in, ready for battle. That's the posture of a soldier, right? Ready to go into action, in other words. and our God is ready to help us. His creative acts. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. You know that if the sun is just a wee bit nearer to the earth, we would all be burned up. If it's a wee bit further, we would all be frozen. But it's there just at the right distance so that we are not frightened and neither freezed, neither frozen. Okay. But we are enjoying, you know, what we have, this climate that God is giving to us. Okay. The godless evolutionist will propound their lie that particles turned into people over time without any need for an intelligent designer. All living forms in the world have risen from a single source, which itself came from an inorganic form. When you observe a seed, or when you observe a plant, you know, someone came to me and said, "Hey, look, my plant, there are leaflets. Look at the leaflets." And the leaflets coming out, you thought that the plant was dying already. Then suddenly you see leaflets coming itself. Where did that life come from? Well, God is the one that gave that life. So every time you think you are weary, you are tired, you are exhausted, you are at the end, well, seek the Lord. Seek His grace. Right? Wait upon the Lord. And you shall mount up with wings like the eagles. You would run and not be weary. Ah, how can it be? Well, that's the Lord's strength. And the psalmist is saying to us that our God is really wonderful. And we can rely on Him. Your throne shall be established of old. You are from everlasting, His throne unmoved. The throne of God speaks of His dominion, His sovereign rule over all His creation. You know why Peter had to kowtow to the Lord? Because he realized, wow, God, there's no more life, breath in him. When he denied the Lord three times, how he was so sad. He wept bitterly because he failed the Lord. But did the Lord forgive him? The Lord forgave him, right? The Lord brought breakfast for them, right? At the Sea of Galilee. And the Lord strengthened them. Wow, what a God we serve. We studied the attributes of God some time ago in our adult Sunday school, and we said, quoting the Westminster Shorter Catechism question 4, what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And we concluded in our study, the being of God, our spiritual rebirth. What is so significant about the being of God? That we have a connection with Him. Our spiritual rebirth. That we are not just a physical walking corpse, but we have real spiritual life, real connection with God. Is this that vital link, that vital connection? This is what the psalmist is saying to us. We must have, and we must cultivate, we must build. Without that, we can sink like Peter. Right. Wisdom. Our devotional life. How do we get wisdom for life? Our time spent with God. Our own devotional time. And that God gives to us. And it's so precious. Do you guard your devotional time? Do you guard your devotional time so that you would have the time? Do you guard it so that you will have the time? The Lord wants us to guard it so that you would make time, because that's where you find wisdom for life. Without it, you find that susa, because you don't have that vital factor for success. God's wisdom, not our own wisdom, you know. Our own wisdom cannot fight battle. We will fall flat. But the Lord's wisdom, right? We said the wisdom that caused Joshua to march around Jericho one time each day, 6 days, and the seventh day, 7 times, and then get all of them to shout. And the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. God's wisdom, you know, foolishness in the sight of men. God's fighting strategy for victory. The Lord says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus, Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, that's the open secret. Are we practicing it? Power. The power of God. Our comfort. Why do we want to think about the power of God? Because He's able to help us. He has that power. When we look at ourselves, we find limitation after limitation. We find ourselves lost, unable. His holiness, our purity. How can we approach God? Except with the clean hands and a pure heart. The pure in heart shall see God. Our justice, our hope. Right, that God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His justice. There is justice with God. There is vindication with God. Our hope. Goodness, our benevolence, the goodness of God that God gave to us. We have experienced through and through what God has done for us. Then what are we doing with our overflowing cup? What are we doing with our overflowing cup? Is it flowing to the people around us, to the members of your family, to the people around you? Well, is that the life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? And submission and truth, our submission, know the truth of God and submit ourselves to Him. Don't want to go our own way. No need to plan and this and that and that and that, but seek the Lord and His way. Simple, straightforward, right? We come before the Lord. God helps us. What He can do for you. In every assault to His own, He quells, He triumphs. Verse 3 and 4a. The rivers have lifted up, O Lord. The rivers have lifted up their voice. The rivers have lifted up their waves. So here, the river is described as the overwhelming tides that comes in our life, that overwhelms us in life. So tough. From the voice of the many waters, majestically from a sea, majesty on high, the Lord. Well, these verses provide for us a picture from the raging waves of nature, describing the seeming uncontrollable state of the world, right? Like the tsunami that struck the west coast of Sumatra, Indonesia, on the 26th of December 2004, that killed 225,000 in 11 countries with a killer wave of up to 100 feet high, one of the deadliest natural disaster in history. Undersea earthquake, Richter scale 9.2. One writer wrote these words of encouragement: "Consider not so much thy distress as thy deliverer. And when man's malicious combination may affright thee, let divine association support thee. The danger may exceed thy resistance, but not God's assistance. The enemy's power may surpass thy strength. Their subtlety outwit thy prudence, but neither can excel the wisdom and might of God that is with thee. Oh, learn therefore to try God in his strength, to trust him in difficulties, when the merciless waves are ready to swallow thee, commit thyself to his custody. The mariner in straits, look up to heaven. Do thou so." Remember Paul, when he was on a boat and there was a storm, and he sought the Lord and he told everyone that no lives will be lost. Right? Just eat your meal and then unload the ship. And they ended up in the island of Mileta, of Malta. The island in the Mediterranean. How the Lord delivered them. How the Lord was there for them. And you remember the disciples in distress in the midst of the raging storm in the Sea of Galilee, and our Lord Jesus was asleep. They awoke him and he said, "Peace be still." And the wind and the raging sea became quite calm. Will you not go to Jesus to cry to him, "Lord, save me"? In your utmost distress, he will surely help you. What is your response? So the psalmist tells us who our Lord is, what he can do for us, and then he seeks our response. Declare his faithfulness. Live by his word. Verse 5a. Dwell with him in the beauty of holiness. Live a holy life. Your testimonies are very sure. Your dwelling place be lovely with holiness, O Lord, to length of days. So the psalmist jots a response from us, having reminded us of the unfailing nature of our Lord in every word he has given to us in his Bible. He tells us, he declares in faith to his Lord, "Your testimonies are very sure. Every word is to be affirmed and never doubted for our safety." Hence, we are to live by his unfailing, infallible, unchanging word. Let us therefore endeavor to walk with him by cherishing his presence with us. Do you feel, as it were, the presence of God with you? I'm not speaking about feeling as in, you know, feeling, but rather an understanding in your mind of who God is, and by the truth of what he has promised of his abiding presence. Because if you seek to want to know God, God is invisible. You can't discern, as it were, feel him. But it is through his word, through the promises of his word, that you would find your strength. So we must go to his word And we must take hold of His promises. Let us therefore endeavor to walk with Him by cherishing His presence with us, by not defiling ourselves with the field of sin that can so easily beset us, but run the race with patience, looking at the many saints of old. Remember, we have just completed Faith of Our Fathers, 41 messages in which we have gone through so many, the life of so many saints. And what is that final analysis which we saw the last 2 weeks? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When we look to the Lord, that's what all the saints of old look to. Their Messiah, their Christ, fulfilling His will, doing His purpose for their life. And how wonderful it is that God gives to us that assurance of His presence with us. Laying aside the sin that so easily beset us, and running the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we too be encouraged to live a holy life and to live in the beauty of holiness. And that is God's purpose for us. One Tuesday night, together with a brother, we visited a 72-year-old man stricken with a relapse of lung cancer. He says that he has no peace in his heart. He says that he's on the verge of losing his mind. God's word was given to him from Luke 18 verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. In the midst of his distress, he has stopped trusting in God's power and His willingness and ability to help him. It caused him to doubt even his salvation. And the parable of the unjust judge and the persistent widow was given to him. Luke 18, 2-8. The widow is helpless, having lost her husband and no means of livelihood, bullied and oppressed. She went to seek justice from this godless, unjust, corrupt judge. She was persistent in unrelentingly coming again and again for help. And the judge says that her continual and persistent coming is wearing me. I will arise to help her. Jesus says, what about your heavenly Father? Will He not avenge His elect who cries day and night to Him? Certainly He will. And Jesus concluded the parable with the saying that at that time, when He would be returning soon, will He find faith on earth? Well, it begs a negative answer. No. Faith amongst believers will be waning. And the Lord, in the last days, and the Lord wants us, well, to be that remnant, right? To be that faithful few, the band of Daniel, who will be willing to stand. Truly, faith was lacking in this man. He faints, he did not continue to trust in his Lord. And he realized that. And the Lord wants us to realize that too. The Lord doesn't want us to be faint, to continue to be faint. But the Lord wants us to trust Him and find peace in our hearts. We pray that He will not give up, though the situation seem hopeless, humanly speaking. It is never out of control with our Lord with us. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for the promise of Thy presence. May Thou be gracious to strengthen Thy people. Lord, may Thou grant strength, faith, renewal of strength to Thy weary people, that they may find Thy grace indeed sufficient. this we pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.